Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm going back to where the beach is near, the beer is dear, there's plenty of women out of the crowd. Walking around the final
second, the whistle is gone, and Slider over is out of the crowd here.
By the river's side, it can match the tide of all as
people. Well, I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
So bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Get it right and drive it clean out over the fence. Out in the field of Cotton.
In the bookie shop, I done me
love. All right, boys, thanks for taking the time to speak to us on this special rugby review for the Sligo Way podcast. Stephen, Killian, Conan, great to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Conan, you're over in the Southern Hemisphere now at the moment, so you're at early doors in New Zealand, about 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah, just rolled out of bed there, had the breakfast and came onto the podcast. So.
Yeah, well,
straight back into it after this.
The busy day ahead of me, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to tack the day, Killian.
So I'm gonna just run through some of the teams that you guys have played for. Conan, you're the biggest club whore here anyways, because I nearly ran out of space writing all the teams you played for.
So. More clubs than Tiger Woods.
Mark Kelly, yeah.
So Stephen, Sligo, Connacht, Corinthians, Ireland 20s, Young Munster, back to Sligo again at Bristol. Killian, Sligo, Connacht, Corinthians, Ireland 18s, Captain Irish 20s, and Irish under 16s basketball. Conan, yourself, I might need to take a pause before I go into this. Sligo, Connacht, Irish 20s, NUIG, Galwegians, Buccaneers, Sunwolves, Highlanders, Counties Manukau, High School Old Boys, the Polar Bears, and doing a bit of training with the Crusaders as well.
And St. Mary's, of course.
No, I have that as well here. I've St. Mary's, well, more Nave Owen, I believe. You're more of a hurler, Conan.
Oh, I was a strong elf full forward back in the Fela winning days.
Well, funny you should say, Phil. I've been told to highlight here there was a top scoring campaign at the under 14s, I believe.
6-1. That's what I scored. Didn't use the hurl one.
I was gonna say not one goal scored using the hurl.
Kicked the slitter every time.
Ran it.
For that point I was actually going for goals, but I just miskicked it and went over the bar instead.
Did I see there not too long ago you togged out in Christchurch for a team, did you?
I played for a Wellington team. They were missing players and a few players went down. So I got the helmet of someone and got the hurl of someone else. Got a pair of shorts and t-shirt that were about a few sizes too small for me and didn't touch the ball once. Made good runs though.
Same as back in the Fela days though.
I was great back then. Lost my touch.
So, boys, you might touch on that for a little bit just before we go into the rugby side of things, but we'll talk broader about sports. Killian and Cairns, I believe St. John's you played a bit with. Killian, you've had a few other loves before you settled with the rugby. Soccer at the early age was a big one for you.
Yeah, no, it was my first sport. I think it was probably the only sport I played till I was 12. I probably played a little bit of Gaelic when I was kind of 11 or 12 or so. But no, pretty much soccer till 12, 13-ish, and then I just started branching out into nearly everything.
Merville United?
Yeah, big time. Yeah, Merville, the Seagulls, Merville Sea Team. I can't praise now that
Sea View.
Sea View, of course.
And that's where the nickname Crouchy was created, I believe, back in the under 14s.
No, yeah, it was actually, I was 9 years of age. Yeah, no, it was my cousin cursing me. So I've had it a long time now.
Yeah, it's crazy how things can stick. So like obviously soccer for a good while, and I don't really think it was basketball then you got into, and you really started to focus hard on that then for a while, didn't you?
Yeah, I took up rugby and basketball at roughly similar time. End of first year, start of second year in Summerhill kind of time. Played both kind of pretty evenly for a long time, but then around maybe 14, 15 age, I just started playing a lot more basketball. Played a lot with Sligo All-Stars and got picked for an Irish team, and was kind of spent a year there just traveling all over Europe with them and playing in lots of different tournaments.
Yeah, there's a lot of transferable skills there in basketball, especially. And Cairnsy, Gaelic would have been your bigger one from the early doors, was it?
Yeah, I played a little bit of Gaelic, load of soccer. I kind of mixed between all three of them, like soccer, Gaelic, rugby. Just anything I could do to get out of school, to be honest. So like if it was a game on a Monday, I'd try and be there. If there's a game on a Tuesday, Wednesday, all the way through. I think Gaelic and St. John's was brilliant the whole way through. I still go back and do a bit of training during the off season. They've been just really good club to be involved with. And always trying to push themselves a bit further. And then same with soccer as well, like, you know, started in St. John's and all the way through into Summerhill. So can all sports. I had to make my decision at about 17. So I obviously chose rugby in the end, but not played all of them all the way through. Like,
and Conan, what was your early doors with the rugby as well? You were a winger.
Oh, my first one would have been Gaelic. I played Gaelic since I was 3 or 4 years old, and still was no good. Oh, jeez, the point of Guinness.
Would have been your time.
If I was any good at Gaelic, I wouldn't be in New Zealand. I'd be trying to play for that county team. But ever since I didn't make that county under 16 team, I gave up on that dream. So.
Yeah, good stuff. And like that was boys, you've obviously been quite high performers in the rugby world, and you know, the big debate about specializing in sports early doors, really, like, you guys are proving that get out there and play everything, get involved in a bit of all sports, you know, and leave them kind of decisions till you're later. Because like Killian, with yourself especially, it wasn't really until you're about 17, 18 that you kind of went focused on the rugby more, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was 17. I went to a European Championships with basketball when I was 16, and I don't think I played I think I played one game ever after that. I had a bit of a knee injury, which wasn't even that bad. It was just niggling for a long time. So I kind of stepped away from it and then just kind of transferred more into rugby. Got more involved with Connacht, and that kind of pulled me in a lot. But yeah, look, a lot of stuff transferred over. Line out stuff, a lot of handling stuff that like benefited me so much in rugby. A lot of it I got from playing basketball. I think anyone, like, no matter what you want to play longer term, play as much as you can, because look, if you're lucky enough to go on to play at a higher level, you're going to be playing it for long enough anyway. So that you don't need to be starting, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17 years of age. You don't need to be isolating yourself to just one sport.
Yeah, but, and then boys, obviously, like, there's the Summerhill connection. We'll go into the Summerhill rugby then, but we'll go into the rugby club in your early days. So there's a year difference, I think, isn't there? About a year and a bit between you all, like Conan and Stephen, you were on the same team. Killian, you were the year below the boys, weren't you?
Yeah, I am. Same age as Shane O'Hare and a few other boys, like Derek Cummins, who went on to play Gaelic, like Ryan Feely, yeah. So I was a year below, and we stayed that way till under 17s.
Under 17s was the first year that you all kind of were together in the same squad. I think that was a really, really high performance, successful squad. Des Cosgrove as your manager. You know, the long list of a backroom team here. Mickey O'Hare is the forwards coach, John Davey is your backs. Then your backroom team, I believe it was Joe Walsh, Barry McConkey, Cahill Callan, and Pat Curran. It's a bit of a galactical dream team, isn't it?
Yes, it's amazing to get, like, I mean, I think that probably just shows the big thing about John. And I think people always ask about different coaches and stuff, and I think John was amazing in for a lot of us, because he might not have been the most amazing coach, but he was an amazing, like, facilitator. Like, he had Barry McConkey one-on-one scrummaging with Conan in his shoes out on the side pitch, and, like, you know, we'd get in Gav Foley, we'd get in Joe for our defence, we'd have, you know, we'd always have someone new in each week on something new we had to work on, and he just literally have that all set up, the best people in the club just in one week, the next week could be someone else, and we're always kind of, obviously we had our set coaches there, and all the boys were amazing, but I think, you know, having that, like, you know, direction to have someone in each week, something different, and the likes of Joe, which we never would have had before, was very stern, and very, like, you know, he took no shit, and, you know, that was probably a new thing.
Got a rude awakening when I had him for the first time. Yeah.
You're lucky to avoid having Jody. You're 17. I had him from the age of 13 up to 20.
Still didn't put manners on you, did he?
Yeah. Joe's a top man, and he's this year now he's doing a really good role. He's like kind of director over the underage structures, and he's like upskilling and the coaches from 13 to 16, and he's doing a lot with the players as well. So Joe massively involved. Still, as are most of them fellas there. John Davies doing a lot of work administratively with Summerhill and with Connacht as well. And Michael, as you know, lads, I don't think he ever takes a day off the rugby at all. And just to go back into this 17s team, Killian, I believe you absolutely broke their hearts from that age, from about 15 to 18, trying to get you out. Michael said it to me about 10
That's
times.
I was a nightmare. Yeah, no, I was getting pulled up both ends. So one week I was full basketball, the next full rugby. I think there was actually one weekend, which was crazy enough. I think it was the All-Ireland semi-final, or was that the All-Ireland semi-final or the Connacht final down in Galway? In the sports ground on the side pitch there, but we had an All-Ireland basketball tournament the same weekend. So I went down on the Friday, played All-Ireland basketball. The kind of runners, the start of the tournament, whatever, and through. And then on the Saturday, went out and played the semi-final or the final or whatever it was, and went back on the Sunday in Galway again to play the All-Ireland final and ended up winning that. But I think Des didn't know that I was playing basketball, and he was wondering where I was on the Friday. There was supposed to be a team run out, and I was down in Galway playing basketball. I was getting pulled up both ends, but thankfully I made it work somehow. Sometimes anyway, not without breaking a few hearts along the way.
I'm pretty sure Mickey drove to your house one day, but you had the curtains closed. You were hiding behind the curtains, so he couldn't get you out to the rugby club. Happened a few occasions, didn't it?
Probably, yeah. No, I owe a lot to a few lads like that. Yeah, had they left me behind, God knows where I'd be now.
And I was, and another one Mickey has said to me over the years as well about this, arriving to the match on the back of the bus and then shouting up, Mick, I don't have my boots with me, I can't play. God's sake.
Yeah.
And
then he'd land out with a pair of his own boots with a hole in the front and no studs in the bottom. You'll play in English Grant, so I'd learn my lesson for the week after and make sure.
Iron leather boots from the 70s, like.
Yeah.
With the ankle support.
Rock there. Yeah.
Yeah, so like, that was a really good team, boys, like that 17s team. And I was just doing a bit of luck earlier, like, and like, after we'll talk about that 17s a bit more, but like, you went into the Connacht representative teams that year. I'm looking here, the 2 years in a row, there's about seven or eight lads from the Sligo team went to Connacht, in the one, Jack Keegan, Conan, Matty Cosgrove was captain that year, Stephen, Dara Byrne, Dara Cummins, Joe Conway, and then Killian in your year, yourself, Liam McElhenney, Dara Cummins, Shane O'Hare, Ryan Feely, Enda Farrell, Harry Musa, Paul Kilcoyne, and TJ Ford, like, so. It's a really, really, really special crop of lads that were coming through in those 2 years.
Oh, yeah. No, I was actually talking with someone recently about the academy and the way it was at the time. There was literally a time where the Connacht Academy and Sub-Academy was just propped up with Sligo lads. Like, every second lad was a Sligo person. Between representative teams and the academy and Sub-Academy, they're everywhere.
So tell us, boys, what were your memories that under 17 year? Like, I think he won the Connacht final comfortably enough. You hammered him, didn't you? Talk us through some of your memories of that campaign. You broke your finger, Stephen.
Yeah, I broke my finger in that final against Bucks. We bet them like 55-7. It was like, and they were supposed to be one of the better teams. And even this now, they had a lot of lads from that team went into the academy, and just a really solid, solid team. But I mean, I guess when, like, our age, myself and Conan's age, the team we had all the way up, we were used to winning every single week. We were unbelievable, in fairness. But then combined with some of the younger lads from Killian's year, it was just like a super dream team, you know? And I think, like, it was, you don't really get it too often, but like, when you're with a team and even if you're losing, you know you're going to win. It was one of those teams. I think it was just a great group of lads who were just buzzing to get out and play, like, you know?
It's the best thing you'll ever do. Like, I know when you have a tight group that age and when you're very successful, like the team I was involved with under 18s, like, we had a very successful one Connacht, won the All-Ireland final, but like, it's just that special bond you have with them fellas, you have it for life, you know? Like, I still pick up the phone and chat to one of the lads in Perth or another fella here, and it's as if it was still the time from the under 18s to crack, like, so, you know, it's really special, those bonds.
I completely agree. Like, I think one of the big memories for me, like, I don't know about the lads, the likes of like Boiler's younger brother, like, he used to be in every single team huddle, Mikey, and he used to, like, you know, we used to have like all a big buzz, and like he'd have the crack with us afterwards. But he came to our World Cup final to, you know, celebrate, because he was still a part of the team with us, if that makes sense. And then when we went on to play international with the 20s and stuff, like, he even showed up with the family and, like, you know, with Boiler to come and watch the games and stuff like that. So I just think, you know, it was like, for us it was class, but like, for everyone involved, everyone enjoyed it just as much, you know. I think it was a great time.
And then, like, at the same time as well, in Summerhill, Ross Mannion would have been playing with the senior team, and he would have been coaching you. And Stephen, I think your brother was Rory coaching as well at the time, and he would have been a captain of the senior team, I think.
Well, Killian might have had, like, we actually didn't have a senior cup team, which is actually hilarious. In
so our final after Killian's team, yeah.
Yeah, it's actually bizarre, yeah. All three of us being there, but not actually having a senior cup team this year before.
Well, I'm proud to say, boys, things have been, you know, pushing on. I think with Ross come in that next year, then, like, it's really been going in strength from strength till then.
He was amazing, in fairness to us. Like, I mean, the same with, like, Ross would have came in and, like, you know, he would have talked to us more on a, like, a personal level, and you know, really would have brought other things out of us, like being able to actually chat to you and talk through stuff, and like, let you have, like, you know, more of your own opinion and form an opinion with his advice and help, and he'd show you in the right direction. So I think Ross was very good at that age, because we all were able to, like, you know, have a, you know, really push on in that sense, you know.
So what were your memories, boys, from playing in that summer of the teams that year?
Yeah, I think the boys, we pretty much every year, the way it worked in Summerhill when we were there was kind of like, who can we get together? Can we get a team together? It was just that kind of way at the time, because a lot of the lads in Sligo, not all of them went to Summerhill. So I know, I think the two boys, by the time they were there, or in their leaving cert year, there wasn't much. I think there was maybe talks of something happening, but it never happened. But fortunately enough, in my leaving cert year, we managed to scrape together a team. I think we're just campaigning for as long as can, and I think we had 9 players and a squad of 20 who were actually rugby players. We just got a cup of galas, then we just begged them to play, and we decided to enter the development cup at the start of the year. We won't have a team for the senior cup, so we'll enter development. And then I think it was Adrian Barrett said no. Well, he just threw us into the main senior cup. And we're like, oh, look, fine, like, we won't win a game, but we'll do it for the crack. And we just started playing games. And to be fair, the first 2 or 3 games that were in the knockout stages or whatever, the round robin stages, but like, we were just kind of scraping through, scraping through games. Some great play, but like, I think it was Garbley or something away at one stage. We just had one little moment where we were down, and then we went ahead in the middle of the game. I think it was a Neil Murray try. I remember he scored it from 40 meters out or something. Popped up the ball between his own legs and like stepped a few lads. I just remember the way the momentum kind of shifted. And like, after that, there was no looking back. I think the big highlight of that year was the Connacht semi-final, which was in the Grammar against the Grammar. And like, no matter what games I've ever played since then, I think that game will stand out my memory. It was insane. There was more Summerhill students there than there was Grammar students. That much of the school had come down. You know, it was the
atmosphere. When Joe Gorman dressed as the Pope.
Joe Gorman.
He put the flag in the middle, like, of the pitch.
That picture pops up all the time. It's brilliant. Yeah, crowd surfing.
We were in the changing room. You know, just kind of getting ready for it and getting ourselves hyped. And we walked out and we see this lad prancing around us, the Pope, plans the tricolour, and like, never have lads who were already pretty hyped just got absolutely up for it. I remember every second of that game, and it was incredible. And look, winning that and going on to the final was class, but I think that was nearly our final in a way. We went on, and there was only a kick in it. There was a miss of a conversion is all that was ended up losing us the final, but the year overall, for what started off being essentially just a bit of crack, and we do a development cup to nearly winning it was amazing.
And it's unreal from the senior rugby club perspective, is when those two teams are firing on both cylinders, and the Grammar and Summerhill, when they're both playing in them semi-final matches and having an absolute war, you know, it actually, the players don't realise it then, but they grow so much in those games. Yeah. And that intensity, it's something that you don't lose it. Once you've been in them battles, you don't lose it, and you kind of come out a bit battle hardened, and it's just kind of prepares you for senior rugby. Because I know a couple of years ago when we were with Summerhill and we got to that final against the Jez, and we lost, like, that campaign, bet the Grammar as well, and Bet Garbley in the semi-final, and it's just phenomenal, phenomenal experience, and just the emotion and the passion the guy showed. And I said it was a really good Grammar team. The Grammar won the league that year, so they'd won the league, and somewhere he got to the Senior Cup final and lost. But out of that age group then, you know, about 9 lads came into the senior AIL squad, and like, they're still there. So it's just, you know, whenever those two teams are really knocking the most lumps out of each other, that's when it's really good for Sligo, you know. So that was a really good experience for you boys as well. And we'll just probably go back a little bit, step back a bit more and go into you boys individually before we go into some of the Irish stuff and the pro stuff. So, Killian, yeah, we'll start off with you a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, so we're ringing around, getting a bit of background. We talked about the basketball career and breaking Mickey's heart and whatnot with the under-18s.
Right.
That Summer Hill team there that you got to the final in, like, pretty much after that, then you actually got the Connacht Under 18 Schools Player of the Year, I think, that year after that cup campaign.
Yeah, I think so. Possibly, yeah, yeah.
So, but so then there was, you went into the Irish schools then, like, so that was a busy.
Oh yeah, no, that it was. It's kind of all a blur because there was that much going on at the time. Yeah, no, it was that year. It went, and I think after Christmas, the first. I do remember now, because I actually. One of many injuries down the list, but I tore my LCL in my knee at Christmas in a training session with Summer Hill, about 2 days before an Irish 20s camp. It was Irish 18s camp, and it was my second camp. I rang them up and I was like, "Here, look, this is the grade 2 LCL." But they were like, "Oh, come up anyway." So we went up, and I was like, "Right, we'll see what we can do." So they literally strapped me from gooch to ankle. I had pretty much a cast on my left leg. And I just kind of like waddled around with a straight leg for 2 or 3 days in Coolmine at a camp. And ask Conan about scrummaging on the backfield in Coolmine going up that hill with...
Oh, my God.
Like,
there was like tons of weight in that machine, and you had to like scrummage it up the hill for
proper old school sled of a machine. And like it was a hill in the back of Coolmine that you would literally just... push it up and then push it down and up and down. I had no knee, but I remember that. And yeah, we went to France, went to Toulouse that year to play for FIRA. And in I think what was only in at that level of rugby, the second penalty shootout of all time. Pretty insane when you think, because if you look at that team, with the amount of people who went on to play professional or higher,
Was it against Georgia that you lost in the penalty shootout?
We drew 3-3 against Georgia, and like I got concussed after 55 minutes, knowing me, but it went to a penalty shootout, and we were like, you know, against Georgians, they're strong men, like really kind of wrestling background, but like surely the football inside will have them here. But our lads stepped up, and I won't name names, but our lads stepped up, and it's a bit dodgy. It was I think 1 or 2 scores out of 5 or whatever, didn't go too well, and Georgian winger steps up and slots them, misses a few, and I remember the one to win it, this number 8 stepped up, like he was built like Conan, and like the man had never kicked a ball in his life, and he put the ball straight up into his post, and big long run up, must have been 10 metres, and just like ploughs at it, toe pokes the thing, and it sails over the bar, and we were out of fear after one game after a 3-3 draw to Georgia. But
because I was doing a bit of googling earlier, and then an article came up from yourself, Killian, talking about the World Cup campaign. Like, the headline was like, Killian Gallagher, I hate Georgia.
Yeah, Saba will be listening to me now. I don't hate Georgia. It's just my luck against them. That was my first game, time playing against Georgia. I get concussed and we lose the penalty shootout. And then the second game against Georgia was the Junior World Cup. And
after you were playing them, wasn't it, Joe? Again.
Yeah, I wasn't due to be playing. The team was rotated and I was due to be rested. And the morning of it, another lad pulled out. So they're like, "Oh, we'll throw you on the bench. You shouldn't be playing." But just leave you as a cover. But yeah, 55-60 minutes in, I go onto the pitch, and then some lad just lobbed a shoulder into me, a ruck, and popped my shoulder out, and that was my World Cup over. But yeah, haven't had the best luck against Georgia by any means.
Bastards. Anyway, we'll have to get on to our Sligo Georgian international Kakabar to see if he can extend an olive branch. We might be able to do something all these years later for you.
Yeah.
So, boys, I think
they might write you a letter of apology.
Yeah.
I have a picture here, actually, and it was one that was in Summer Hill that's up on the wall. It's the three of you with a Summer Hill flag after an Irish match.
So yeah, I remember it. Yeah.
That was in Donnybrook.
In Donnybrook, yeah. Pat Toohey actually brought up a PE class or something for that.
Ran up to him.
He brought up like three buses of Summer Hill students. Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was class. It was awesome.
I don't know. Was that Italy or Scotland at home? I think it wasn't the first game, which was
Italy. Italy.
Yeah.
I don't think I played that game.
Well, the three of you are talking. No, unless you were doing a John Terry in it.
I'd say it's a John Terry.
The second last game was.
It was Wales.
Oh,
Wales.
Scotland then.
Was the first one.
Wales.
Scotland was the last one. Italy was the second last one.
Wales, France, England, Italy, Scotland.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah, Italy or Scotland. I don't know which one.
You played the last two games.
We actually were playing together.
Yeah, he would have been playing them.
And then talk us, look, absolute massive honour, that match against Italy when you were named captain. That was obviously a pretty big moment.
Yeah, look, you'll see a bit of a running team throughout here when I talk about these stories. But yeah, massive honour. And look, coming into my second year in 20s, I definitely wanted to have a big year. And We won the first game over in Scotland, so it was a good start. And then we went down to Italy. Was named captain for the game, and it was in a pitch in the middle of nowhere in Italy. I don't think the people around knew who he was. But ran the stadium here, and the pitch was a bit of a bog, but started off very slowly, and I tried to impose as I could. But then, yeah, same old sort of thing, lying in the bottom of the ruck, and someone throws a shoulder in, and my shoulder pops out again, the opposite shoulder this time. It was only about 3 months later. It was only my third game after doing the other one. I didn't really know what happened at the time. It was maybe five minutes before half time. So I just kind of played on, and yeah, went in at half time. Physio was looking at it, was kind of subluxing in and out. But massive honour, but didn't go. Just like a lot of other stuff with these stories, didn't go just exactly how I wanted.
Is it like that back row was actually stacked at the time as well? You had Gavin Coombs on the bench, Caelan Dorris, Paul Boyle, and then Jack Regan on the bench as well. Luke Conan,
Ken Pals
over there in New Zealand there recently. Have you?
Yeah, no, the team. Yeah, it is. The boys are getting together. Between the two teams I played on, the people that have gone international and pro, the percentiles is huge. And it was actually Jordan Lamore who saved that game. We were down quite late in the game. He caught the ball on our 22 and. As he's done many times since, ran the pitch himself and won for us.
It's just absolutely crazy to have three lads from the locality playing for Sligo that you've these Irish stories together, waxing off these names, Jordan Armour and whatnot. The club are so proud of what you boys have done. Stephen, we'll pause the Irish ones there, and Stephen, I'm going to jump back to you here for a little bit, and we'll build it up again, and then bring back more towards the pro times. But Stephen, the feedback from a lot of people on yourself, extremely intense individual.
Hardly. They didn't say that, did they?
It seems to be one of the buzzwords I keep getting.
Intensely intelligent? No.
Oh, Jesus. Not based on that statement.
We're going to rewind things back to the thing. So you came from being an absolute hellraiser. You had, as a young fella, you were down the back of buses when they wouldn't stop to let you in. You caused absolute puck. John Davey, you had his heart broke as well in early doors. to go on and play for Ireland, it's not bad. Like, a lot of people probably don't know, but you were kicked out of Sligo Rugby Club at one stage.
A few times, unfortunately. It was a bit of a menace back in the day, all right. I obviously had a bit of a temper, and the small man syndrome never helped. But yeah, I think we were chatting about it earlier. That one time, I think I'm not actually sure what it did. Obviously something usual. And anyway, I was walking away after Des telling me for probably the fourth time that I wasn't ever going to play for Sligo again. And I kind of called his bluff, so I was walking away, and I was just clapping off to the crowd, like pretending there was a crowd there as a cheeky pup. And I think it was Gerdy ended up thinking it was funny, so he started clapping as well, but he had nothing to do with it. Des ended up threatening to kick him out of the club, and so then I was walking into the dressing room, and before I got to the dressing room, Gerdy had to, he got called in by Des, and he had to write him an apology, and he also told his parents, but he didn't tell my parents at all, and then I didn't have to write an apology, and I was just back training next week, but Gerdy wasn't able to go to training next week, and also had to write an apology, so I was able to sometimes wean my way back in where others had the misfortune of tagging along, so.
But will you have managed to turn that intensity, that shy-hawking into a good energy anyways, and you focus intensely, but you're from a bit of a sports mad family, Connor and Rory. Obviously big into the rugby as well. Rory was the captain of the senior team. Connor, when I first came back to Ireland, I'd never met the fella. He was only a wee little rug rat before I'd gone away. But geez, we
still is.
He's over in New Zealand now, living the absolute dreams. So he is. And your sister Brona, an amazing football player as well. Carl and Lorraine are very proud of you.
Yeah, they're. I think they're great. I think just from us, probably. I mean, my parents are obviously brilliant. Like, they didn't play any real sport themselves. We come from show jumping family in Killoony, so that's probably tells a lot about the height problems. But none of them played any sport, but they just threw us into everything. Like,
are you saying sailing isn't a sport?
Oh, don't say that to my dad. Jesus, he's sailing around Ireland today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, wish him best of luck. But no, they didn't really do any sports. Dad only took that up when he was like 40. So they didn't play anything when they were younger. But they threw us into everything, probably just to get rid of us four menaces. Like, you know, it's better off someone else having them than themselves. So they're brilliant. They had us in everything, and now they're really involved in the club because of it. And I think you know, it's great to see them still out there, even though we're gone.
I have to give a shout out to your mum here, to Lozzie's red tomato chutney.
Hey guys, anyone looking for a nice chutney or a bit of soup, get down to the market, Lozzie's Foods.
So this episode is sponsored by Lozzie's red tomato chutney. And I was saying to Stephen that basically there a couple of weeks ago I was driving into the markets with my lovely wife to be Marie, and she was giving me a bit of a talk about, you know, just copping on a bit and, you know, tightening up on the spending and saving for the baby coming. I go, okay, yeah, points are on board, you're dead right. And then literally we got out of the car, parked up, and like the first stall we saw at the markets is your mum selling the chutney. And obviously,
would you like some chutney?
So obviously, I didn't know. We had about three bottles of chutney in the house from Christmas hampers and whatnot. So the first thing I did was say, oh, yeah, look, I'll get that chutney off you there, you know. And then obviously, this was 2 seconds after saying, you know, cop on and no unnecessary spending, that I just gone straight away to buy the red tomato. Well, I think Murray was just like, for fuck's sake, like, what did I just say to him? So I'd say your mum was like, what is going on here? He's just buying a chutney off.
You should have brought it back.
Yeah, look, no, look, it's going down well. You can see here, so it's a shout out to the Ranger. It's actually delicious. So we'll put a picture up of the red tomato chutney and a link to the site. So
well, she'll be delighted. She will. She'll be delighted. She won't know what to do with all the followers.
Oh yeah, it'll break. We'll break the internet with it now. But so look, Stephen, like with Sligo, then you went off. You came back to us again, which was great. Like that came against Blackrock there about a year ago. We had a big 10-5 win away. And this is not long after the year before when we'd lost that game in the playoffs. So there was a lot fizzing there. But what was your experiences of coming back into us that season there 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think it was brilliant. I mean, I think obviously I moved away like to go to the likes of Young Munsters, went, you know, to play in the best level of rugby I could to try and get myself a pro contract in Connacht, because I wasn't actually playing too much rugby at the time. Which obviously worked out. But once I had sorted that, I was, you know, my eyes were always to come back to Sligo because it's my home club, and, you know, you want to be a part of all their success. It's sad being away and seeing the boys go from, you know, 2C to 2B, you know, and looking to push 2A and doing such amazing things, and not being able to be involved in that when you're eligible to play. So it was actually brilliant to get back to Sligo. I absolutely loved it. The boys are all legends, like Paddy and Eastie, like, you know, they're just really good coaches and all, and the S&C boys in there, like, they all do a lot of work behind the scenes and stuff, a lot of lads, but the whole culture in there is unreal. So like for me to be able to come back in and feel like I'm a part of the team was really good on their behalf, I think. And that game against Blackrock, of all games to come into, like, it was the worst weather I've ever played in. It was torrential rain. I mean, the pitch was the complete mud, and it was some storm. I don't think the game wasn't supposed to be played.
No, it wasn't meant to be played, and it just about went ahead. It was ridiculous weather altogether. Yeah,
if you kick a box kick into it, it would have went back like completely over your try line.
Like that game, that really, like, you, like, really the leadership that you showed that game, and you brought everyone on that extra 10-15%. But that was just such an enjoyable game.
Given I think probably it was.
it was a forwards on a day like that. Like, I mean, I was just kind of telling them where to go, but the boys were just unbelievable. Like, we were against the wind. We were on our 5 meter line and we were picking and going literally for like, could have been like 30, 40 phases waiting for a penalty to tap and go again and go at it again. So the boys put in a monumental shift that day when we, you know, it was amazing, to be honest. Great to get a win.
Yeah, that was serious. And then, you know, going back into Connacht now, you're currently over with Bristol at the moment. That must be pretty crazy. Some of the fellas that you're seeing there in training are like arguably some of the best players in the world right now.
Yeah, they're pretty amazing. They're a great group of lads as well. I think going over there, I was obviously living with Crouchy at the time. I didn't really know what the story was. I wasn't getting much game time in Connacht. So there's, what's the point of being a rugby player if you're not really going to play? So I just said to Friendy, look, any chance I can go out on loan? The day I actually asked him to go out on loan, I had just went over and I thought I did my crew shit and also got a punch in the face by Matt Healy when I was on the ground, and then got my knee checked and ended up saying it was fine, so I was actually able to go over to Bristol. But the boys over here are just unbelievable. Like, I mean, the facilities are class. Like, you know, you're with Semi Redrada, like Steve Luatua, Jonathan, like there's just endless amount of talent in the club. Like, it's just absolutely amazing. But
what was it like, obviously Pat Lamb over there, the three of you have obviously been around him, his environment as well. So I was, first of all, I suppose, what was it he like as a coach, and what was it like for you to play under in your early years, lads?
Yeah, I think probably like at the start, like for me anyway, like I was in the academy and I was a scrum half, so there's a lot of detail to learn, and I've come from unstructured rugby to Pat, where like everything is mapped in a sense. You have to know what you're going to do in every single position. So I thought that was very tough. But like after having the coaches over the last years and learning rugby a bit more, I've always been like, oh, I'd love to go back and play under Pat, because I think I'd do a lot better. And I've absolutely loved being under him. It's tough, but I think you become a really good rugby player under him, and I probably appreciate him more this time around. I don't know about the other lads.
Conan, I was just that you're talking about Pat Lamb there. I got one of the last stories I got about you today before I came on the show was I was told to ask you about your first appearance for Connacht.
Sports official / rugby player, Conan.
Yeah, go on. Let's get this one out of the way.
Oh, I don't know what's worse, the first or second appearance.
I've got the story for the second appearance too, Valerie. Go on.
So you know when you make your debut for a team, you have to sing a song, your initiation. So we were playing Cardiff, came on for 4 minutes, and then like we won. So everyone was like, oh, come on, sing the song. So I was thinking, oh, this must be my initiation. And I just really joined the team because I trained with the academy, so I didn't really know the lad at all. I just trained with them that week because I got a few injuries, so I got lucky to get a game. And then, so you know where Sligo is, the Sligo song when they win, but I thought it was my initiation, so I started singing Valerie by Wemmy Winehouse. So I was like, sometimes I go out by myself. And everyone was like, no. Feels of that and right. And I was like, oh, no. I was just cringing to myself. I'd only really heard Feels of that and right from the chorus. I never knew the start of it either. So I just jumped right into the chorus and I was like, oh, all right. And I just go, from there, the top of my lungs. And everyone was just like, oh my God. And then the kit manager was like, look, I'll take it. And then it just goes, my lonely prison. And then it started and I was there like, holding my face, cringing in the background, being like, what have I just done to myself?
That's unreal. I had a good laugh at that one. And Camira, tell us this about fourth official /debut. Talk us through that one, or actually, Killian, you seem to know the story well there. You might give it to us.
So no, that was the second one.
Go on.
That was the second one. So the week after my debut, I was against Ospreys and I didn't get a game. And then the week after that was against Zebra and we were hammering them. And then we had a Kiwi fitness coach or S&C coach, and I could barely understand what the best of times he was mumbling the whole time. And he asked me, Dave Heffernan, and it could have been Olton Delan or Shane Delahunt. Oh no, it wasn't Shane Delahunt, it was Dave Heffernan. But he asked the three of us to like come over to him from the warm-up place, and I was like, oh, it must be coming on. So the two boys run on and he like looks at me and says something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, huh? And I looked at the kit man's hand, who was like doing the subs, and he had three cards in his hand. And I was like, oh shit, I must be going on. So I run onto the pitch and I'm like, yeah, Dennis, come off, you're off. And he goes, I'm off already. And I was like, yeah, I'm on. He goes, all right. Sorry, I was playing about 20 minutes of the game, half hour. In fairness, I did pretty well. Like, scrums went well, and we won by a, like, a big margin. And then I was walking into the dressing room, happy out, like, got more than 4 minutes this time. And then the marketing lady was like, oh, Joyce, he's looking for you, who does the subs. And I was like, oh, smiling away. Yeah, yeah, really? So I go up to Joyce and I was like, oh, I hear you're looking for me. He goes, you subbed yourself on, you bollocks. And I was like, what? He goes, you weren't meant to go on at all. Apparently, Pat Lamb was in the stand on the mic to everyone be like, what's going on? Where's Dennis? What the hell has happened? Can someone tell me why Conan is on the pitch? So yeah, then I got a stern word on the Monday being like, we had a big talk about substitutions, and the main point of the substitution was Pat told us that, like, look, lads, I like the enthusiasm, but you're not allowed to sub yourself on. This is professional rugby. We could have got deducted points and not be in European qualifying position. But thankfully, it was our at home and we never got deducted points.
He's talking about me, isn't he?
Indirectly.
So look, we kind of skipped over the academy thing. We went straight into the Connacht pro side. But talk us through the academy there, like how full on it was. Like, Killian, you went straight into that academy, I said, from 18.
Yeah, jumped in out of school, so 17, 18-ish that summer. I think most lads' first experience of it, you go to Gartner Car, but that summer, you spend your summers down there, kind of put you up in the thing. So, it's weird because the lads who've been to boarding school, the lads who've been to Ross Cray and stuff like that, they fit right in straight away. But for a lot of us, it's just like a big summer camp. So lads tend to go a bit wild. And, you know, the way it works is you're put into houses of four and you're given a voucher. I think it was €250 or something like that. That's supposed to do you for 2 weeks. 2 weeks over there, and I just remember my first summer down there, and I can't remember what house I was in, but all I know I was hearing lads from Conan's house. Conan went to Tesco with the €250 by himself, and he bought, like, I think it was 25 sachets of, like, fucking fajita mix, or he bought himself some pairs of socks. He just decked himself out, and the lads had nothing to eat for 2 weeks. These are 18-year-olds with no money of their own, had eating dry pasta and beans for the next 2 weeks straight.
So who was your academy coaches when you went in?
So the way it was at that stage was Nigel, who was academy manager. He was the top dog. And then under him, you had Massey Lawler and Ambrose Convoy. So Massey was, they both do both, but Massey was back specifically, and then Ambrose forwards with defence, and obviously set piece on top of that.
Conan, so I might just jump into you here for a little bit before we kind of come towards the modern times, but Jesus Christ, like, I mean, I asked people for one or two stories from you, and I could have done a podcast alone, but, like, I found the boys a bit of information on Wikipedia and the boys, and I typed in your name last. I didn't need anything from you, but I said, ah, fuck it, I'll see what Wikipedia has to show for this fella.
The fucking surfing. Oh.
The first thing that pops up is, O'Donnell is affectionately known as Cruiser Conan around the social scene of Mount Maunganui. This name stems from surfing on a vodka cruiser sponsored board. Explain.
Oh, before I get into that, that was not me who took all the vouchers in Tesco and bought socks and
phone. Yes, it was.
That was Jamie Dever. So thanks for turning that on to me.
Don't get me
started on Crouchy's first week there. Okay, sorry, Cruiser Conan.
I know, we want to hear that story.
Yeah, go on, Conan. You started it there. Get it out.
What was my first week?
This is like therapy for you boys after spending so much time together.
We're all sitting around and like none of the boys really knew Crouchy because it was his first summer there. So like me and Steve were there the summer before. So we kind of had a good understanding. We had testing and one of the lads did really good in the CMJ. And we're all sitting around watching TV, not thinking about rugby. And Crouchy just goes to Adam Levy out of the blue. No need. Yeah, I did better in the speed test than you. I just didn't say anything. And everyone just looked at him being like, what? What was the need for saying that? And Crouchy just snapped out with a smug head on him like nothing had happened. Just put it out there.
And you want to know why that's a made-up story? Because Adam Levy wasn't there my first year. He came after that. He was living in Lurgan Park with Claffey. He wasn't there at all. It's completely made up.
No, Stephen will back me up.
Completely made up.
We might get him on the show next week.
Yeah,
Conan, sorry, this Cruiser Conan.
Yeah, so I decided to get into a bit of surfing since I moved to New Zealand. And so I had a surfboard in Dunedin, which was on the South Island, and I just moved to the Mount. So I had no contract, and I started to work in a bar there. So I was trying to save a bit of money, so I didn't want to buy another expensive surfboard. So I decided to go on Facebook Marketplace and find the cheapest surfboard I could get. And I seen this one. It was like, it looked big in the pictures and it looked like it'd hold me. So I decided to get it. And then it just happened to have Vodka Cruiser on it. And when I got the surfboard, it turns out it had no leg rope or no like way of putting on a leg rope. It was just like real kind of like shitty plastic kind of material. And for some reason they put like surf wax on it. And like, obviously it wasn't meant for surfing. It was like one of those promotional boards you win when you buy Vodka Cruiser and an off license. And I ended up like getting stuck with it. And I had a little moped. So I drove down to go for a surf on the Vodka Cruiser, but it wouldn't really float in the water. It just kept sinking to the bottom. It was safe to say I couldn't surf with it. So that's where the nickname Vodka. And then we had a guy in the bar called Corona Rob. Sorry?
Didn't you sell the surfboard?
I sold the surfboard to some little kid on Facebook Marketplace then.
The circle of life.
Hey, I fell for it. So I gave him loads of warning. And I was like, look, it's not fit for surfing. And he was like, look, I still want it. And I was like, all right. I gave him 10 warnings, but he still didn't listen. And he said, I appreciate your honesty, but I still want it. I like the look of it. So the Vodka Cruiser signal got him.
I hope you put an autograph on it. And Conan, tell us this, you were big in Japan.
Yeah, jeez. What a spot. Unbelievable.
How did the Sunwolves come about?
So Corey Brown used to be our under-20s coach for Connacht. He was over in the Sunwolves as the backs coach. And I forget what happened. I think I was like trying to get to Otago for the ITM minor 10. He used to be the Otago coach. So obviously people were just asking about him to me. And then he wrote me in the message being like, oh, I hear you're looking to go overseas. Are you leaving Connacht? I was like, yeah. So they've decided not to renew my contract. So I'm trying to go to New Zealand. And then Corey was like, oh, would you like to come over and play in Japan for the Sunwolves? I was like, yeah, definitely. Why not? And he goes, yeah, like if you do well, we can get the contract for you next year. So that actually fell through. And I was like, oh, I was pretty upset about it. And then I'd like nothing coming about. And then I was like all set by going to Australia just to play club rugby with Bond University. And then the day when I was meant to confirm it, I got a message from Corey that day at like 6 a.m. And I like literally jumped out of bed, looked at my phone, got out of bed, went straight up to the sports ground and asked friend, could he release me? Because I was meant to go to the Sunwolves 2 days later. So I had to pack my bags that day and get down to Sligo. And I remember the one thing you telling me was, I remember I told you, I was like, oh, I'm off to meet the Sunwolves tomorrow. And you're like, oh, I love them, mate. I used to watch them on TV. And every time there's a scrum, they all just go, oh, woo!
Yeah.
Right? And the first time I witnessed it, I was just like in awe. I was on the bench and the scrum was going ahead. And everyone was just going full circle, going, oh, for about the whole length of the scrum. It was incredible. The Japanese fans were just so fanatical. It was awesome.
And they were just like, I remember when they announced you on Instagram or social media or whatever, like just thousands of Japanese followers are like, oh my God, like they're so happy to have you.
It's the first time they've ever seen a real life anime character. That's why.
I'm fresh.
No, I still get DMs off them on Instagram. Every time I put up a story, they write to me in like the Japanese writing or sometimes in English. So I use my very few Japanese words to reply to them. But when I was there, it was actually my birthday. And they had like a big massive like queue of people behind the barrister like signing out, looking for autographs and pictures. And I actually like, by the end of it, I got the queue, I had a big bag full of presents to get me. I had like pajamas, sweets. And one guy actually gave me a framed photo of me and him.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Yeah, it was great.
He asked you for some of your hair in exchange. Conan, I have to pull it up here now, but there's a bit of a twang to your accent and rising in words. And I know you've always had a bit of a funky accent, but there's a bit of a New Zealand twist coming in there now, is there?
Oh, I've heard that's the regular thing when people move over here. I'm sure you had it when you were living in Christchurch.
I did, yeah. It just reminds me about Killian. I think when you came on the phone on Zoom earlier today, there was a very Donegal twang off your voice. onto the Zoom earlier. What's going on there?
Don't know. I'm just very musical in my ways, I suppose. Maybe that was all.
Oh, lovely, yeah. But it was there at the very start, but you came out of it. So, County's Manukau. Their Ric Flair chant. You stole it from us.
Sorry?
The Ric Flair chant at County's Manukau.
Yeah, so I decided to bring a bit of Sligo to them. So I wanted the words of True McMorrow to spread around the world. So when I was traveling, I said I'd bring the Ric Flair chant with me and give them a piece of Sligo, give them a piece of my past and what I'm about.
It's cool how small little things like that make a big difference in the dressing room, isn't it? Like,
oh, it's great. The lads loved it. They were like, wow, what is that? And I was like, oh, we used to do it in Sligo. They're like, that's the best thing ever. And I was like, oh, you should see the original.
it's there's nothing better than getting a good win and everyone's just dying to get into the change rooms and get that chant going. So what's the plans now? Are we going back to counties again or any sign of coming back to Ireland?
I've signed with a different Myra 10 team this year, so
the absolute journeyman,
another club. I know. Yeah, it didn't really go too well for me in counties last season. I wasn't pretty too happy with how I played, and probably Pukekohe isn't the most entertaining place in the world, so I probably kind of got a bit distracted to stop me from boredom, which probably affected my rugby, so I'm kind of moved to a better town to kind of try and keep me focused.
We're going to have the Georgians and we're going to have the locals there from Counties Manukau coming after this podcast. All right, well, I know one thing that we can talk about, and I know it's a big fan of the show here, a big favourite, Willie Rogers, that gang of lads going to Strand Celtic from Portumna. I believe that managed to make its way to Galway.
Yeah, I was in the physio room one day getting a bit of strapping done, and then all I could hear was, in the background, "Hello, Maris!" So I leaped off the physio table, ran to the dressing room because JP Cooney was playing it on the speaker and all the lads were in stitches, and I was just in awe on how they got their hands on it. And I was like, no way. And literally they were just bemused by how good it was, and they were just cracking up, and like they used to refer to it like every day, and I had heard it maybe 4 years previous, and I don't know how it like resurfaced in Galway.
It's resurfacing. That's
can't
amazing.
Get away from.
Yeah, so is there any random phrases getting thrown out then in the training pitch? Was there? There's no moves made on the back of it.
No, not at all. Of Branch of Friendship and Community Leader were name of the back strike moves, but that was about the height of it, I think.
All right, lads, we'll start wrapping it up here. It's like there's ridiculous amount of stories of ridiculous people played with. Like, if you were to try and make a starting team of the best players you played against, how would you reckon you'd go with putting one of them together?
All three of us.
Well, how do we split this up? I suppose Conan, if you do the tight five, Killian, if you do the back row, and Stephen, if you do the backs.
Right, Conan, start there. I'll help you with the tight five if you want.
Conan doesn't watch rugby.
I don't watch rugby. We'll say, what's the name of that loose head for South Africa? The ginger fella?
Yeah.
He won the World Cup.
Klitschko, is it?
I know, yeah.
Klitschko, yeah.
Yeah.
Klitschko, yeah. Him, loose head. Tight head will go Ben Franks. Hooker, we will go Richard Hibbard, maybe?
Yeah.
Thinking. Yeah.
We'll settle for that. Right. That's formidable. Second rows.
Crouchy, can help me out here.
My first game, randomly enough, my first cap for Connacht was against Worcester in Connacht, and I was 19. That day, my opposite number was actually Donegal O'Callaghan, randomly enough. I think it was his last season with Worcester. So that's
how he was 38 then, wasn't he? 38,
39. Yeah, in around about that. So it was weird in one way. He was finishing and I was just starting. But yeah, obviously he'd be up there. Other second rows, I don't know. I've never played against James Ryan. I've played with him plenty of times. Other English people, let me see. I don't know who comes off the top of my head. Scott Faraday, I suppose, as well. Another one, back row as well. Other back rows. Oh, geez, I used to hate playing against Nick Williams. Played against him against Ulster A, and I played against him in Cardiff as well. He's just such a large human being.
Such a boy.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Steve should be better at this.
While you look, think for your number seven, right?
Yeah, go on.
I guess. Well, I played against Toulouse last year, so a lot of them are some of the best players in the world now. Like DuPont is probably the best nine I played against. Played against Stringer and Mike Phillips in the same game. One came on for the other, which is bizarre. Intermac. Obviously plays 10 for Toulouse and Peter Aki, like that whole back line for Toulouse, like you had Huger, they're unreal. In the 20s, you have Jordy Barrett there, played against him in New Zealand, and Sean Stevenson, two sickos. Obviously, then there's like the Leinster and Munster boys, like they're all pretty good as well. But if you're looking from abroad, I think they're a lot of the big players. Like, I mean, it's hard to look past a lot of that Toulouse team. They're obviously won the Champions Cup there this year. I don't know about you boys, but some of the better players we would have played against. I mean, obviously at the time, like, you know, Joe Marchant when he played with, and even Max Malin both played with the English under 20s team. They're both playing with England now. They're unbelievable. And Jordy Barrett, obviously, when he played New Zealand 20s, like, you know, when you're playing against those lads, when you're playing 20s, they're just like, it's like men against boys. Like, they're just insane. You know, they're going to go on to do amazing things. Like, you know.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
All right, good stuff, boys. And we'll start wrapping it up now. So advice to any fellas playing now at the moment, what would be?
I think a lot of it's to do with take how much joy you can get out of it. Enjoy it while you can when you're younger. Some of the most fun rugby I ever played was Sligo and Summerhill. I can still remember going on an under 14 trip away to London, a tour with Sligo boys. Some memories from that. I'll never forget that Summerhill game against the Grammar. Things like that. When it becomes your job, you certainly get a lot of joy out of it, but you have to take it a hell of a lot more serious, and there's ups and downs with that. But when you're younger, yeah, definitely take more joy out of it. And as Steve said there too, don't stop. The one thing that came into my head when he said it was Jack Regan, who Conan spent a lot of time with this year. You know, I would have played underage with him. You know, he had a good underage career, but he left Leinster and went to Ulster, and it just didn't happen from up there for one reason or another. He had some back injuries, he had other injuries, and it just didn't fall into place, you know. And he went to New Zealand with kind of a bit of hope, I suppose, more than anything else. And look, he worked hard and things fell into place. He got into the Highlander squad down there. He's after signing a 3-year contract over in Wales. And if you told him 18 months ago, you know, when he was in an Ulster academy, that in, you know, not before very long, you're going to have a professional contract, you're going to be playing with Alan Jones in Wales, and you know, things are going to be bright, he probably would have, you know, said nah, go away after that. But yeah, look, enjoy it as much as you can, and if you're sure that it's really what you want to do, just go after it. There's a way there, you just have to kind of find your way through.
Well, yeah, going on,
probably less is more. But like, if you're going to do less, kind of make it real, real good quality rather than like doing a half hour of shite. Maybe 5 minutes of good stuff is better than a half hour of bad stuff.
All right, Stevie.
I think just enjoying it, as Crouch, you're saying, 100%. And like, I mean, I guess if you do get to the level, or if you are looking for something and it might not happen for you, don't stop. Because like, I mean, obviously for the likes of Conan there, going across to like his 100 clubs, you know, he's still getting to see an amazing amount of places, get to play in crazy opportunities. And I probably only noticed that this year when I came across to Bristol. You know, there's new opportunities around the corner. So just if you really enjoy it, just keep going at it, and no matter what you're at.
Good stuff, boys. But listen, we'll wrap it up with that. As I said to you, we're all very proud of you in Sligo, of what you've done, and the examples you've set for the young guys coming through. So Thanks a million for your time, boys, and really enjoyed the chat tonight. Okay, so best of luck in the futures, whatever they hold, and Conan, I hope you play for another 100 clubs.
Hopefully he makes his way back to Sligo.
As long as you finish in Sligo, that's all right, mate.
Yeah. Play for Naboone again.
It's all right. He's never going to lose that burst of pace anyway. He'll be all right. He can play forever.
That'll do, boys.
I'm going back to where the beach is near. The beer is dear. There's plenty of women out of the crowd. Walking around the final second.
The whistle is gone. And Sligo Rovers at your back.
By the river side, it can match the tide as it flows.
No, I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for us.
Get it right and drive it clean out over the fence. Out in the field of Cotton. Jesus,
in the bookie shop, I don't know.